Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Everybody, it's Clarissa. You are back in the limelight, and I am not ready for you yet, but now I am. There you go. Good to see you all back again this week. You know that I always have extraordinary interviews and entrepreneurs that have lots of insight for us, which is really kind of cool. I'm excited about our guest today because he's somebody you really need to know, especially if you love food and beverage. So before we get into that, everybody, I do want to remind you that the videos can be seen on Apple, on Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV, Android TV, Amazon Fire, and YouTube. And the podcast can be seen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. Don't forget to get over to clarissaburt.com, where you can also read the digital version of the In the Limelight magazine. Again, In the Limelight is intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. I'm going to bring on somebody who's up, who's sweltering in the heat, much like I am. Here comes Michael Pohl. It's lovely to see you on the show. What is happening?
Wow, I just popped on like that. How you fancy. Just,
I know, fancy schmancy, right?
High tech.
Well, you know, we do the best we can. But I wanted to introduce you as the founder and editor of Food and Beverage Magazine. Would I be correct if I said that?
You would be correct.
I'm telling you, it is so beautiful, your online magazine. It's fb101.com. I'm going to bring on the ticker for that. But while we do that, Michael, why don't you tell everybody what it was about food and beverage? And you've been in this industry a long time. You're apparently the go-to guy for pretty much anything food and beverage, especially if people want to open up a restaurant and run restaurants, which is it's a tough gig. I'm not going to say it's an easy one. My parents used to have a restaurant when we were in Texas, and it's a tough gig. What is it about it that you love so much?
I knew I recognized that accent from Texas.
I'm not Texas.
I certainly don't love the fact when I started, it was all brown hair. I don't know what I'm looking now. Oh my God. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. While I was in college, I started my first few businesses, you know, make a few dimes. East Coasters, we'd like to say a few shekels, right?
Right.
And one of them sort of stuck, and it was a floral business, believe it or not. I would take roses. They would come in packs of 25. I would break them apart, sell them to my fraternity brothers, run around the University of Maryland or American University where I graduated from, or George Washington or Georgetown, and we would sell to all the fraternities and all everybody. So I had all my fraternity brothers sort of being my sales guys and delivery guys, and we were moving some good amount of flowers.
Wow.
Graduating, I thought, you know, why do I need to go to law school or be a doctor? I could just be a florist. Like, that was the most ridiculous. I don't even know why they even let 18-year-olds think for themselves at this point. So I started American Wholesale Floral, and we had our first location right outside of Washington, D.C., and it was like 2,500 square feet, 1,500 square feet of that was all coolers and all different flowers.
Wow.
And it was wholesale to the public, right? It was like, I was like the Cy Sims, which is like a wholesale haberdasher,
right?
Open to the public. You could get roses for $9.99 all year long. And I only advertised on sports radio and on men's. I'm not even a sports guy, but I knew that's what would get the guys in to buy the roses that would then get their wives in and for the weddings and that. And then we ended up having like 15 stores across the country.
Wow. You kind of like reverse engineered that. So how can I get the flower to the woman? I got to do this. And before it gets to her, I got to go through nine other.
Well, I wish it was, it was either that or just send out money mailers. And I'm like, that doesn't work. Right. So I had to figure a way to attract people into the store. So I used sports guys. And then on holidays, all the guys would come and they'd want to meet like Patrick Ewing and everyone that lived around town. And I would do their weddings, flowers, and then they would have to come in and that would be their payment, right? To be at my store that day.
Oh, wow.
And then I said to myself, while I was in that business, I was always spending money only on advertising in trade magazines for restaurants and catering and hospitality, because that was the bigger hits, right?
Right.
Restaurants back in the 90s had flowers on the table, very different from today.
Right.
So we would have standing orders. And that would be our core business. And then everything else would be nice to have extra, right?
Right.
So I said to myself, God, I'm spending so much money in the media and buying ads. This is what I'm going to do when I leave the floral business. So I sold the business and I started Food and Beverage Magazine.
Wow.
I had no idea about how to publish a magazine. All I knew is how to write checks to a magazine.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, you say what you will. I have a digital magazine as well, and I do print one out for posterity so I can throw it on my coffee table and show somebody, you know, have somebody to show when I'm here on my, you know, doing my videos. But, I got to say, I absolutely love the hard copy. I am a hard copy junkie. I think I've subscribed over the years to a gajillion magazines, bought a gajillion. I just love it. I love the whole mm-hmm. Concept of it. You know, it's sort of like a little moment that you have with yourself. And
I loved it. We did that for 15 years. We printed hard copies. I had aggravation every month, typos that you couldn't correct, right? But in the end, now we have 12 million readers. I couldn't possibly print 12 million copies.
Right.
Right. And how many? And then you would go into meetings, and they would be in the bathroom. They'd be sitting on the table. Nobody would be looking at them. And you're like, how do you? My thought is, as a business guy first, right? I was first a merchant.
Right.
A flower merchant.
Sure.
Who was advertising, right? So going into the publishing role, I'm like, how can I make sure that the merchants get their value?
Right.
Right. It's hard. Then digital popped up.
Yep.
And nobody wanted to do it. And I'm like, I didn't even want to do it. I'm
sure enough.
But I realize now that I can, you can show and the amount of readers and what they're reading and how they're reading. There's so many different ways to work this out, right?
Yeah.
And to prove it, to say, okay, you're spending your money with me now as an advertiser, which I used to do, but I couldn't prove anybody was reading it. I could prove how many copies went out.
Right. And that was about it. You know, I follow very closely the FIP, F-I-P-P. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but what it is a trade show for publications all around the world. And the biggest legacy brands, I mean, you can find everybody and anybody there. And I'm just following them online at the moment because obviously we can't be going into, a trade show because of the reason we all know. But what they're telling us is that, you know, print is basically gone. It's gone because people think that they can get the virus from paper. It's going to be disappearing from hotels, disappearing from, you know, your back seat, the seat pocket in front of you from the planes and all the rest. So I'm going to go with, digital is the way, but it still is the wild, wild west in the sense that, as you had said before, you know, how you're doing with advertisers? Well, that's a whole different story because, you know, digital brings in a whole different priceless than a print ever did, right? So it's a little bit still.
Well, it's more economical. It could be more economical.
Yeah, it's very much more economical. But you know, you never really, at least with the research that I've been able to do, it's always been a little edgy, sketchy, and not quite sure as to how much you really can charge for to an advertiser. I don't know if you have any way to enlighten us on that, but
Well, with me, it's different because we're so specialized, right? We're right into the restaurant business, so. I can, and we have Google Analytics, which everyone understands what that is.
Right.
So all you have to do is show them the numbers. Here's what it is. Now you want 2 million views, 5 million views, 10 million views a month on your impressions.
Right.
Now that's not guaranteeing they're going to buy anything. And it's still the message. The medium is the message, right? It's still the message that you're sending out and what you're offering to people.
Yeah.
But really, instead of my focus is on the editorial, right? Like I know that if we have really super editorial and great, like James Beard award-winning writers, I have one that lives down by you and she lives in Tucson, believe it or not, Jennifer English.
Right.
But if I know these people, they know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. We get the information as much as we can out to as many as we can and everything else will sort of follow, right?
Yeah.
Because if you sort of don't have good information, no one's really going to care.
Do you miss going to the trade shows?
No. Because they're very stressful for me. And I'll tell you why. Because all I care about is getting the money out of those guys, right? Yeah. I'm out there trying to sell. Shake hands, kissing babies. My sales guy will call you. And they BS you the whole time, then they never advertise, right?
Right.
So it's a business. Like anything, it's a business. Yeah. And the trade shows don't give us editorial content. I do miss like having fun and goofing off and running around and being like sort of,
pretending to work.
being the ambassador. Do you know what I mean? Hey, right. I own Food and Beverage. Oh, that's the owner of Food and Beverage Magazine. This year, the trade shows were supposed to be different for us because we were supposed to put out a new book, which was like literally the Bible of the buyer's Bible for the restaurant business,
right?
And distributed at all the trade shows. So that's sort of what that was bad.
Right.
And then our new book, Wiley Publishing, came to be the biggest publishing house in the world. They're out of England, if you've been, not too far from your Italy, right?
Right.
And they said, we want you to publish a book called A Guide to Restaurant Success. I'm going to pull the book up now, Clarissa, if you don't.
Yeah, I have it in front of me and I would love to talk about it. It's a Food and Beverage Magazine, everybody. It's A Guide to Restaurant Success. And I wanted to kind of know why now was a good idea for you to come out with the book. I say now, obviously.
Which is a better face? First of all, which is a better face to hold the book with?
Do this, do that. There you go. Point to it. There we go.
Why now? Well, this is pre-COVID. Right. Like I spent a year making however many 300 pages pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And but the beautiful part about it is it walks you through opening a restaurant. You could do it for under $20,000, literally. Right. Right? My example is you can open up a restaurant for $25,000 or less in the book. Right.
Right.
Now is not the time to talk about someone investing $25,000 into a restaurant. Right.
Right.
So we're not pushing that.
Okay.
But it walks you through the phases of. In your mind, my grandma made the best pasta sauce, right? Or whatever. And I know everyone, if I open an Italian restaurant, everyone's going to love that sauce, right? Or so-and-so makes the best.
Why does every Italian say that? Every Italian says that.
Listen, I'm not even Italian and I can say it. Right?
I know.
You know, my secret is grape jelly in the sauce right there. Done. You know?
Wow, stop already.
Follow me for recipes. You ever see that with hot dogs and a white bread? But no, that's so you have to go through those processes, right? Of like all, how many people do you know that wanted to open a restaurant in their life?
Right.
80%.
Absolutely.
So you got to go through the processes, and the book walks you through that, walks you through my process of opening different establishments that I had opened, and
right.
failures and successes. I bring in anecdotes about successes with the magazine and just business, right? You know, it's always, where's your pad of paper on the right-hand side? Where's your this? And it's funny because I talked to my friend recently, a guy named Jake. You remember, you know, Jake Steinfeld, Body by Jake?
Oh, yeah,
well,
of course.
Okay, we were talking, Jake was talking about his success.
Right.
And as he was talking about his successes, many of those things that I do, like the yellow pad with the pen, he's like, oh, you know, Michael, I always have a yellow pad with a pen next to me. I'm like, Jake, did you read my book? Because over and over again, like I'm saying, so I knew that I was on the right track after talking to one of my childhood heroes. Not because I wanted to see the inside of a gym, but because every time you turned on the television, he was on there, right?
Right, of course. You know that I once interviewed Jack LaLanne. Mm-hmm. You remember Jack LaLanne?
Of course. Who doesn't know? You mean the juicer guy?
That too, but you don't remember when he was working out on the floor with our mothers, do you?
No,
I'm older than you are, but he used to have a show on every morning, like 8 in the morning for a half an hour, and he used to work out our 1950s mothers in black and white, good old Jack LaLanne. So I'm going to go with, it's probably a really good time to get this book, because if you're thinking about opening a restaurant, you're going to want to be, you know, getting all the information now.
If you're thinking about opening any business, I mean, honestly, it should have just been for business, right? But I own Food and Beverage Magazine.
Right.
Hence, it's a smarter decision to have the book published, you know, that way, right? We sold out it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. It's in Barnes & Noble. So it's all over. It's sold out on Amazon the first day, which was amazing. Now, again, this is without trade shows. I was supposed to go and hustle my way through every trade show all year long.
Congrats.
Right? I didn't go. Yeah. I was supposed to go to every Barnes & Noble and sign things. I didn't go.
Right.
So I just reached out to all my celebrity friends, and they said, you better get the book, read the book, and then send me a picture.
Yeah.
And that's been happening. And that's how I built the magazine to – because I mixed celebrity with food and beverage, right? Because you know why? Chefs and everybody else still like pop culture. Believe it or not, they still like pop culture.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the mistakes you made along the way that you would want everybody to know not to do?
You got to make your own mistakes, Clarissa, right?
Well, I mean, you can try.
You know,
to help a brother out. Try to help a sister out.
Ego. Get your ego. Take your ego. The biggest mistake everyone makes is they let their ego take, whether it's with anything, even in their relationships, right?
Right, right, right.
I'm not Dr. Phil, but I play one on TV. But the thing is, lose your ego. You know, once you lose your ego,
yeah.
But there's a point of that where you can't lose it and too much because you still want that be able to go, I can go in and kick this ass. I can right. kill this. I can have this restaurant. I'm going to be the best, be the best. But don't be the best to a point where it hurts you, which is it's hurt me, my own. It's hurt everybody, right?
Right, right.
You know, I'm going to stand my ground on this because that's what I'm going to do. Well, what's the point?
Right. So what would you suggest to people about financing?
Don't use your own money. Every single chef I've ever talked to says don't use your own money. But then it becomes, how are you responsible for somebody else's money? Right? So it's a little bit, so it's a double-edged sword there. It's like, what kind of person do you want to be?
Right.
But you can be smart. You could find, right now, you could find restaurants that are already fully equipped. You don't have to buy new equipment. You don't have to do great. You have word of mouth. There's ways, people get all freaked out about social media. It's very inexpensive to market on social media, right? It's inexpensive now to market in many different ways. You know, we've learned that lesson. And then there's the Yelp, there's the reviews, and it's how do you handle them?
Sure.
You know, one of the things when I was starting the magazine, Bobby Flay, a good friend of mine, Bobby and I were talking, he said, Michael, I will do anything you want, right? I had a lot of big guys involved with me with the magazine way back in the day. But please don't ever criticize anyone. Don't ever review. And the reason being, it's not because you don't want to hurt me. You don't want to, somebody can have a bad day.
Sure.
Right? One dish doesn't make a restaurant.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And if you look at some of these reviews, maybe they've got a bad employee. That bad employee is going to ruin their entire restaurant. Absolutely. So you have the Yelp and all these things that are people are giving one star, two star. And I understand.
Yeah.
That's by the way, their ego that got bruised when they got in there and they got talked to poorly or something. They didn't get what they wanted.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with that. Anybody that's ever been an entrepreneur, I don't understand. You know, like you're saying, it could have been a bad day. It could have been an employee. You know, those of us that are entrepreneurs know that kind of thing. So I would never jump on Yelp for it. I mean, I might go to a manager and say, you know, your employee's an asshole, but I'm not going to ruin the business. It's such hard work. Restaurants are really, truly.
Well, unless you have a nasty, let's think about this. We've all been to restaurants where the owner is a nasty, mean old guy, right? But with the best food ever, he's just still so nasty and we still go, right? I mean, exactly. Right?
Yep.
But that could be part of the appeal. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, the guy's a real jerk.
But his tomato sauce is awesome.
But I love gravy.
Yeah, exactly.
I love his gravy.
It's not gravy, it's sauce.
Oh, no. See how it is? You really are moved out of Philly, haven't you?
I really, it's not gravy, it's sauce. No, I was in Italy for 30 years. Right. I know what it is. Anyway, so what about going down the franchise path?
I don't know. I mean, it was one of the things that Food Network was coming to me one time. We were going to do a show called The Chain Maker. And I was going to help somebody go from one store to many stores, right? I made that mistake and I blew my ass. I mean, it was just done. You waste all your money, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't necessarily convey to another location. You got to be so careful when you do that. And to franchise, it's a lot of work. It's expensive. It's an ego thing because you're not going to make a lot of money doing it. Right. You could lose a lot. Licensing may be a better way because then you sort of guide them without giving them the restrictions, right?
Okay.
You have to use my IP is like my stuff, you know, very simply, and here's how you use it. But if it's very good, it's a recipe, you know, that's intellectual property, logo, intellectual property, right? All of that stuff is their IP. You know, does it, what they wear, what they do, you know, so there's so many different ways to do it. Like right now I'm about to launch a big pizza chain, right? But I'm doing it inside of gas stations, inside of bars that have extra kitchens. I'm not renting space anymore and paying rents and someone's mortgage. You know, we're going to go in and we're going to work deals and maybe we'll have 20 or 30 locations moving and shaking in the smart way. But if you don't make the mistakes the first time, right? Like I literally can open up for $1,000 a restaurant today because there's a local tavern that has a kitchen that no one's using and they want us to come in and they said, we'll buy so much food from you. We won't charge you rent, and you can do a ghost kitchen concept, which is like the delivery concept, out of the kitchen and do whatever you want. And I'm only saying $1,000 because that'll cost the amount of money to buy the food to start with.
Wow.
Right? So it's just about knowing what you're doing and asking. Because if you don't make the presentation, you can't, how are you going to do it? You don't put your hand out.
Sounds like a great idea, pizza, because everybody can always afford a slice no matter what the economy is, right? It's not like, you know, or a pie. It's not the end of the world. So that sounds like a great path to be going.
Well, yeah, that's the thing you need to look at. But you know, sometimes someone has great recipes, like chef's steak, this, that. One of my buddies has a steak restaurant. All they sell is steak and French fries with gravy and some, and I think a vegetable of the day and maybe some desserts.
Right.
It's the same steak and the same French fries, and he kills it. He's always busy. So simple is what it is right now.
Stick with what works.
Yeah, and if something's as expensive as a product to bring in, charge more. Don't be afraid. Like, that's okay too. Charge for what you're serving people. It's okay.
Yeah. All right, Michael, show your book one more time before we have to say goodbye, because that is a beautiful cover. I have to say, everybody, the Food and Beverage Magazine's Guide to Restaurant Success, that is not only restaurant success, it's entrepreneurial success as well. Michael, come say goodbye. Come back, Michael, say goodbye.
All right. I'm always available. Anytime you want, Clarissa.
I know. You're cheap, but you're not easy. All right. Stay right there. You stay right there, Michael, while I say goodbye to everybody. I give them an appointment for next week. You are here in the limelight, everybody, with Clarissa Burt. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Thanks for watching this episode of In the Limelight TV, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. Please consider liking, sharing, and subscribing to my channel on YouTube. And you can listen to the podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. Go head over to inthelimelightmedia.com to read our digital magazine, and don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the limelight.